Well, comrades, everything is set up. Welcome them up.
Thank you.
Well, I understand you came with a bunch of people to Leiden because of a small community network you're setting up in Oslo, but you have a far longer journey after you. You're coming from Iraq, correct?
Yes, that's correct.
Iraq is in the media very much in the last couple of months. George W. Bush, the big commander-in-chief in America, wants to bomb. The government in Iraq is shown to us as, well, the devil. I think that's not a very differentiated view. I understand you yourself are a refugee, so it's probably not a democracy there. But how is it really? What do you think George Bush is afraid so much that he wants to bomb?
I think he is the extension of the cowboys and the aggression of his father and the policy generally of United States, the capitalism and conquering the world to gain all the oil reserve in the world. I don't get a surprise if in the near future that the United States will threaten, for example, Norway, because Norway has oil.
They could as well, no?
I mean, yeah, they can. Why not?
They have threatened the Netherlands. You have heard that.
Yeah.
There's the international. We're not safe here either, and we don't. We only have refineries. But like nearly 10 years ago, or more than 10 years ago, George Bush's father, as you said, already tried, or really happened there, in your opinion. Why did they not conquer all the oil by then?
Well, I think it was the beginning of a bigger policy which they want to force on the Middle East. And it could never happen that time if, for example, Saudi Arabia, by the propaganda, by the fears to lose, I mean, the government there, to lose their chairs or thrones, they agreed to attack Iraq. And by this way, United States has a physical base in the area, in the Arabic country, as a beginning to conquer physically, not only behind the walls or behind the stage. Now it's
by
very
proxy.
Clear. Yeah.
This explains very much why it was, let's say, for the Western democracies officially all of a sudden necessary to defend a kingdom, the Kingdom of Kuwait or the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia. But this doesn't explain very much why they stopped. Saddam Hussein by then talked about the mother of all battles that he allegedly won, following his propaganda. If you would listen to CNN in the same time, they said the same thing. By the information that you might have, who won in 91?
None of the people who is in the area, and the loser was the people. And who win all the time? Those who has power and weaponry machines. Those who win, and they will keep winning, if we don't stand for them. And we are doing that in a way in our, this movement I call it all over the world, this global movement against the war and to free the countries of government and to have a really free people on a little village called the Earth, without any borders. Even though we are very few compared to the inhabitants of this global, but I think it is a movement.
Well, sitting here in this quite wired and well-connected global village, city square in Amsterdam, or it might be Brussels, even Norway is very well-connected. You can get to the internet, you can have telephone lines. You don't hear anything from some other countries. Sometimes I meet people from Syria, from Iraq, from Palestina, and we're getting very scarce news. What is the picture there now?
Well, the picture is very dark, really. In the whole area, because it's fears that if United States, attack Iraq, they will also use Iraq as laboratory again for to test new weapons. Don't forget the depleted uranium weapons that they use in Iraq in 91. And Israel is very much alert to attack Iraq. And Sharon, not long time ago, said that he will use the nuclear weapons they have if Iraq attack Israel. And they don't need anyone to attack them. And especially they attack before anything. I mean, just for precaution reasons, they can attack anywhere. And it's the war against Iraq now. It's just a precautionary war. There's nothing threatening them, actually. I mean, millions has died or damaged. Their health been damaged of the sanction on Iraq. And I mean, what do you expect? People surviving from hour to hour, really.
So the sanctions or staying with the situation in these countries right now. I understand that Iraq is one of the most oil-rich countries in the region still.
On earth, you can say that.
Before the war or the first war on Iraq was waged in 91, or even before the war against Iran started. What was the situation like by then?
Situation of what?
Well, I mean the situation, let's say on a social state basis. I mean, did you have, let's say, good medical service? Did you have free
your? I would say, without exaggeration, you could check it in the internet. In Iraq, it was the highest health level. The health service was for free. Education was for free. I myself have studied twice at the university without paying a penny for that in the 70s. And in the 80s, it was again the same condition, but it's become harder for people to survive because they lost each family lost at least one member in the family because of the war between Iraq and Iran. And then the health situation become less than before. The education, people are depressed. And then after, I mean, when it finished and 2 years after, again the whole world power attacked Iraq and damaged everything. All the achievements of generations, really. I would say that it is the hard work of the generations of my grandfather, my mother and father, and my generation. It been really demolished totally, unfortunately. It is not Saddam Hussein, it's the people who served Iraq and made it modern and had this health care and free education. It's not Saddam Hussein. He is just one who's sitting there, but it is the efforts of millions of people.
In countries where wealth is not threatened, where social systems are functioning well, normally political freedoms are easier guaranteed. We've seen this in countries like Venezuela before the first oil crisis. What was it like in Iraq when you were a student? Did you have freedom of speech in there? What were the limits?
Well, it was very difficult. I mean, you get arrested just to have something read on you because you would be accused as a communist.
But I understood that the Ba'ath Party, of which Saddam Hussein and his government are members, were originally a socialist movement, or do I understand it wrong?
Well, what about communists and Marxism and Leninism? It's the same. The theory is something, and in practice it is something else.
Yeah, but in China you would go to jail if you were not wearing the red T-shirt, so in Iraq it was...
The opposite, yeah, because you would be accused as a communist immediately. Well, I didn't wear red before I left Iraq to my exile, actually. It was just like, wow, I am having a red shirt on me. It's really a privilege. It's true.
So, but what was the official line of the government by then? I mean, if you would be an Islamist, you would go to jail. If you wear a green T-shirt, though, you go to jail. If you wear what T-shirt were you supposed to wear?
Well, it is depend on the mood of those who has power.
No, but like if you compare it, let's say, by then when you were still a student before you left, I mean, what?
Well, do whatever you want. Don't oppose the government. Do whatever you want. But just say yes. You have to say yes all the time.
Then, somewhat later, the war on Iran started. Well, as far as you could see, let's say, on TV, on the normal propaganda channels, it was a fight about a couple of oil fields. What do you think was the real reason, or was it about the oil fields?
It's a very naive reason, actually. Well, I think all the battles, all the fights since and the establishment of Israel and all the hell after that, it's only because of the interest of the West in this very vital and important area.
Yeah, but in this first war between Iran and Iraq, there was no West involved. As far as I remember, the Islamists in Iran had just chased the Americans out, and, well, in Iraq, there was no... No then Westerners
you,
either.
Then,
so
then you have no idea about the game. If you ask me such a naive question, I would say, because when
that's
when
why I'm asking.
Yeah, because when Al-Khomeini came to the power, they say, and it's true, that he had the power and the command over the third military on earth at the time of Shah. Of Iran, because it is the gate that they or the Shah has guarded for the United States against the Soviet Union. Don't forget that he had a real big, well-equipped army, and how to get rid of this army if it is in the hand of Khomeini, who says, well, Palestine is Palestine and we have to free this country, right? And then plus the oil. And Iraq had a real big war machinery being provided by the West, by United States, by Germany, by France, by England, and to...
In order to destroy Khomeini's army.
Yeah, So they create a kind of a game that they would kill each other. Well, if million Iraqians die, who cares? They are Iraqian, they are Arabs, and if million Iranian die, well, they are second class citizenship. On citizenship in our global, I mean, or human being.
Yeah,
who cares? Let them kill each other and get millions of handicaps and hit the economy. It's all for the benefit of the West. It's oil. One third of the reserve of the oil for the whole global yet in Iraq. And Iraq plus Iran plus Saudi Arabia, they sit on the biggest oil well on earth. Who would sacrifice this for Khomeini or for Iraqian or for Saudi Arabian's citizens?
Well, seen in this light, there was maybe you can give us more backgrounds on this. Once the war between Iraq and Iran was kind of finished, that they were all exhausted, the... let's say, invasion of Iraq in Kuwait started. This was also about an oil field, but something leaked. You could hear in the international press by then that Iraqi diplomats had actually asked American diplomats if they would tolerate an attack of these two oil fields. Can you give us a little bit more background on this? What was the relation between the Iraqi government and the U.S. government by then?
Well, he was the friend. They say he is a bastard, but he is our bastard. Saddam Hussein, the one who was brought up by the bastards of the world.
But
so he's their son.
Do you reckon that this, like, let's say, unofficial permit to invade northern Kuwait was a trap that was set to, let's say, bring down the armies that they had provided themselves to Saddam Hussein?
Yeah, of course, because in the war between Iraq and Iran, Iraq by that time, in 8 years, could develop mass so-called mass destruction weapon. But who provided him again? And when Bush is standing there and say, well, we have to get rid of Saddam Hussein, he says, because he killed his own people by chemical weapons. But whom gave Saddam Hussein this chemical weapons? Right? It was sold by Germany, United States, and you name it. So, the battle was also to destroy this machine that been developed in Iraq. Because then Saddam Hussein by that time was again strong, not the economy, but the military machine. So this have to be destroyed.
We apparently We're entering the next round apparently now. After the Kuwait was, let's say, under Anhaltungstaken freed, and democracy, was restored in there.
Oh, yeah.
Iran, of course, was flat. There was an embargo going on, so economy was destroyed. Military was destroyed by the war. I have to come back to a question that I asked before, and that I think you answered in the meantime, but still seen under the light. Why do you think did they leave Saddam Hussein in power after 91? I think that if you believe the American war propaganda, they could have entered Baghdad easily and they could have removed
Saddam. Of course.
Why did they not?
Because they need him there.
As the devil.
To serve, yeah, to serve the interest of United States especially, and Britain, which want to be Greater Britain again. Because they have trouble. I mean, Greater Britain has trouble because it is not Greater Britain anymore.
It's getting smaller and smaller. Even Scotland is splitting.
Right? And Wales after, probably.
Bam, back to 2002. So George Bush Jr., that looks very much like his father, stands up now and says, but now we're going to get him. Do you believe this?
No.
What do you think do they really want to do?
Well, as far as I could understand or could analyze what they say, that the news which is leaking from sometimes the Pentagon and sometimes from the Ministry of Foreign Affairs or the Congress or what Bush says, it is to... They are determined to divide Iraq to three zones physically, and they claim, of course, never Iraq been three areas, like in the south there's Shia Muslims, in the middle is Sunni, and in the north are Kurdish. It's true that in the north that majority of Kurdish live in the north.
Question
but
in between here, where would the oil be?
In the south, darling, and in the north, and nothing almost in Baghdad. So Baghdad is not for their interest, right? The north is Kirkuk, where the biggest oil field, and the south is Basra, where also a big oil field and reserve. So the middle is not for their interest. And they also speak about splitting Saudi Arabia to three zones.
Saudi Arabia?
Also, yes. Yeah. It has been in the American news, and it's been discussed on TV. If you read Al Jazeera sometimes in the internet.
Unfortunately, I don't speak
they
Arab
bring
yet.
No, but there is a site in English. So you could see that there's plans. Lebanon is very candidate to be split apart everywhere, you know. So they are not interested, for example, in Mecca and Medina, where Muslims goes. They are interested in the other part, Riyadh, and where the petrol is, and the same with Iraq.
Well, for the moment, they're still big friends, but I have the impression that the Saudi Arabian oligarchy is not willing to participate in these war experiments. Do you think that they're adopting their relation with the United States already, or do you think that they're too fat and they don't realize anything?
No, well, when they say we don't participate, I should suggest for those kings to say, if they are serious, really, if United States is going to attack Iraq, we will defend Iraq. Then I would say that they are speaking their heart and they are really solidaric with Iraq. But when they say we don't participate, it is a passive stand or point of view. And then they avoid themselves probably the anger of United States. But who knows? When they say we don't participate, that means go and hit Iraq, but we will not participate. They should say we will defend Iraq if they are serious. Then I would believe them. But by saying we don't agree or we won't participate, that means they are admitting that United States should attack Iraq.
Well, as far as I can understand, they're a bunch of egoists. They want to stay in power with all the oil and all the money. But nevertheless, I mean, I don't have... today, the Netherlands, the government of the Netherlands approved support to the United States for attacking Iraq.
Yippee!
Even saying that they do not need the support of the United Nations. Do you think that the kingdom of Saudi Arabia as such, with the people that are in power now, will survive this future war in the Middle East?
Well, I mean, any war will happen in this area will affect Saudi Arabia. Don't forget, still the weapons, which is they call it depleted uranium. I mean, the water is and the dust is taking all the uranium to Saudi Arabia's land and Kuwait. So they are affected no matter. Whatever they say, if they don't stand against the United States, I mean, they are...
If they say, no, we're going to defend Saddam Hussein, then they don't even have to come there anymore. They already have all the soldiers in Saudi Arabia.
Well,
right?
for God's sake, I mean, there's 24 million Iraqis. Is it the issue of one person called Saddam Hussein? I really don't understand when people talk about Iraq. There's...
Well, let me give you a European point of view on this, because we were all... Oh, great. We were all, during the war in 91, I was 10 years younger, and I remember watching TV, and there was George Bush saying, we're doing this for the sovereignty of states. Yeah.
Yep.
It's like he didn't say democracy, because it was not a democracy in Kuwait, but he nearly said. But everybody in the West, even the dumbest idiot in the United States, redneck, has a car and knew this is about petrol. So I think that you don't need a very sick propaganda layer in Europe. And everybody knows nowadays as well, this is about the sovereignty of the West. And this
That's
is the good
true.
Old Crusaders.
That's true. He said it clearly, and I won't say otherwise when Bush says that. Clearly on the screen, on TV.
Well, in any case, thanks for the insight. You're living in Norway. Well, welcome to the European community.
Welcome to the world community, actually, I would say, because I'm a part of the community of the world, and that's delightful. Thank you very much for this conversation.
Thank you very much.